You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. And it's not official until Sunday, but as far as the radio program is concerned, this is the day that we kiss May goodbye, which is always a sad occasion. You know, I had a minister friend, and he used to celebrate his birth month, and this was my birth month. And so that time of celebration's not quite coming to an end because we've got another celebration that happens on Monday, but May is getting ready to go bye-bye. And so I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They cover all of Brevard County. They've been in business for decades and decades and decades. By that I mean over 50 years. And they provide sales, service, and repairs for air conditioning and heating. They work in residential settings, and they work in light commercial settings, and they even provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide their customers with the best service possible and at an affordable price. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. So let me tell you, there's been a couple of Sundays that I've missed. Both of them I was out of town for. Both of those Sundays that I was out of town, a different air conditioner had problems. And the last one that happened, I thought, hey, when it told me there was no power going to the thermostat, I said, that's probably just a dead battery. It wasn't just a dead battery. So I said, well, maybe it's a tripped breaker. I went down and I found the breaker tripped, and I thought, well, maybe it's just a bad breaker. I want you to know there's a reason why I'm not an air conditioning repair tech. And that's because the folks at Wyrick Air know it so much better than I do. Dennis came out. He met us. We'd set up an appointment. He came out, and I said, you want to look at the breaker first? And he said, no, I'd better check the unit first. And he found out that it wasn't the battery in the thermostat, because there wasn't one. He found out it wasn't the breaker. He found out it was a bigger, more substantial problem than that. The great news is I can tell you this. A lot of times when I've thought it was something major, he found out it was something minor. And I tell you that to tell you this. They treat people honestly. And I read Facebook posts from time to time about other companies and where their sales reps are trying to sell new units where new units aren't needed. And I'm just so thankful that Pastor Dennis from Wyrick Air brings kingdom values to his business, and he looks to solve the problem. And I can tell you it is a joy to know that they are our go-to service company whenever we have issues. Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. Their license number CAC 182-1309, and they may be a great resource for you with the summer heat on us now. So thank you, Dennis and Carla. Let's go back to John chapter 5 today. But before we get there, I need to make an announcement. I made an announcement that we were going to have a fellowship dinner Sunday after church. But because of a memorial service that we've got on Saturday where we're going to have people bringing in food and things like that. We're going to not have the fellowship dinner after church. It's not that we're allergic to eating. It's just that we don't want to put too much of a burden on everybody to bring food that they've prepared for large numbers of people 2 days in a row. And so hopefully you will grant us that grace. One of my privileges as pastor is not to overburden our congregation. We want to make sure that they stay in a healthy place in all areas of their life. And so that's one of my jobs as a pastor, is to make sure that I don't create too much of a burden for the people who are serving Jesus with all their heart. So John chapter 5, verse number 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So remember, this is one of those most assuredly statements. On an earlier program, I'd mentioned too, there's actually a third most assuredly statement, and that is in verse number 24. So there's verse number 19, verse 24, and verse 25, where Jesus says, most assuredly, or in common vernacular, Bob vernacular, pay attention to this. This is very important. It's not that Jesus doesn't tell us things that are not important, but he wants us to focus and grasp these truths that he's telling us. And that first one is the Son can do nothing of himself, that Jesus does not operate independently of the Father. He does what he sees. He does or speaks what he hears, and the Father and the Son are operating in a compassionate unity that shows the harmony of their actions as God the Father and God the Son. Verse number 20 is where we left off, and it says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. So we had talked about that because we love someone, we want to show them or share with them every bit of information that we have. Set the people in your sphere of influence up to succeed. I'm going to say that again. Set people up to succeed. Don't set people up to fail. It's a complete different mindset from the world. God wants us to understand the spiritual business of his kingdom. He has wisdom and expertise and truth to share in all areas of life, and he doesn't want to withhold any of that information from us. And we should not deprive ourselves of it. If you've got a Bible, read it. Learn it. Study it. Fall in love with it. And live it. So the Father loves the Son, reveals everything to the Son. And then there's this statement, and he, the Father, will show him, Jesus, greater works than these. In other words, the revelation is progressing. It's intensifying. It is spreading. I don't see any place where there's going to be a retraction. Jesus ascending to the right hand of the Father was not to deprive humanity of the physical presence of Jesus. It was instead expedient for them so that God the Holy Spirit would come and he works in the lives of all believers all across the globe. My wife and I were recently on a cruise, and we took a tour on an island we'd never been to, and they said during this tour, oh, make sure that while you're here, you visit this mall. Well, I can tell you this, there wasn't going to be enough time to visit that mall. It was a very compressed time schedule, and so there wasn't going to be any. And as soon as they said that, we drove by the mall, and the tour guide said, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the mall is closed today. It's Ascension Day. And I finally figured out what they were talking about, even though I had never heard of anybody having a national holiday of Ascension Day before, due to, you know, lack of exposure to such a concept. That particular island shut most of their business enterprises down to celebrate the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, this is not punishment, it's expedient, because God the Holy Spirit is going to come and going to empower and indwell in the lives of believers. So the revelation is to intensify, and Jesus says, the Father is going to show me greater works than these, that you may marvel. And that word is translated many different ways. It's that you may marvel, that you may be astonished, that you may be amazed. I don't know if you've ever seen something and it's like, wow. I saw some people do some things that God had given them talents for, and they had developed those talents, and it's like, wow, that was amazing. And you know, that's wonderful when people are astonished and things like that. But there's another word that I believe is really at the heart of what Jesus is saying here, and that is that you may wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R. I think we need to do less wandering and more wondering. Wondering says, wow, that is amazing. I am captivated by that. And I want to study that. I want to make the most out of this particular experience. I want to understand what this is doing. Jesus is not looking to impress with some novelty act. That's not what he was doing. He healed this person to create a spiritual thirst in people that would cause them to hunger and thirst after righteousness and see God do the greatest exploits in their life. So I hope that you are still amazed at the goodness of God. I really do. God is good. You don't want to miss heaven for the world. Verse number 21 says this, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And so the Father is a life giver. He raises the dead. And the Son is a life giver. And he gives life to whom he will. There are some people who look at that and say, well, he doesn't want you to have life, but he does want you to have life. And the scripture makes it very clear that God does not want any to perish. He does not want anyone trapped in their trespasses and sins. He wants them to experience eternal life. That is the will of God. So the will of God for eternal life, spiritual life, is available. It's available for you, and it is available for me. He has made it available. And he goes on in these next verses and explains that while the offer and the invitation is available, not everyone is going to take up the invitation. Here's what Jesus says. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. There's a business, and their advertisement has been that it is a judgment-free zone. Except for it's not a judgment-free zone. And so if your judgments don't align with their judgments, then they will tell you, thank you for your membership, but you're no longer welcome here. That means there's decisions that are made. I remember being in an airport, and there was a person, and they were wearing a shirt that said, don't judge me, something along that line. It was a red shirt. It was black letters. Don't remember exactly what it said, but it was pretty much, don't judge me. And the truth of the matter is that there are people who make judgments based out of their experiences. They make judgments out of their preferences. They make judgments on a lot of different things. Sometimes they make emotional judgments. Sometimes they make financial judgments. People make health judgments. When we were on the cruise, we got to make food judgments. I'm now at that stage in life where, even though I didn't like something earlier in my life, and I may still not like it cooked in my house when I'm there, that I gave it a shot. And so even though I do not care for curry chicken, in 2026, I have eaten curry chicken, not knowing it was curry chicken until I ate it. And it's like, that's curry chicken. But while we were on this cruise, it was an opportunity to taste something that I didn't have to put up with the smell of. And if I didn't like it, I was going to be okay with that. And so I explored some tastes that I don't normally care for. And like I say, a lot of people make judgments. And so if they like something and you don't like it, then they're going to judge you. If they don't like something and you do like it, then they're going to judge you that way as well. I'm not speculating that people exist like that. I know people like that. We're not talking about that type of judgment. We're talking about spiritual judgment. We're talking about, as you go on and read later on to the chapter, that there is going to be people who either come into judgment because of the good things they have done or because of the good things that they have not done or the bad things that they've done. So Jesus says the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. So the Word of God is the standard of judgment. So if there is someone who is living in sin and another person tells them that it is sin, that person isn't judging them from a flawed foundation. They are simply making known to them that they are in violation of the Word of God. And everybody's going to stand in judgment. We're either going to be rewarded for the things we've done because we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, or we're going to be judged for rejecting Jesus, and then we will be removed from the presence of God. That's not what God wants. He, in John chapter 3, let me read this to you. It's in verse number 16. For God, so let me read verse number 15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 17 continues on. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it continues, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so there is judgment as whether we're in compliance with the will of God or not in compliance with the will of God. And then there is the consequence or the reward thereof. And Jesus said, all of that has been committed into my hand. That's where the authority lies. And so I don't get to create a standard different from the standard of Jesus. I don't get to have an unjust standard where it's okay for me, but it's not okay for you. I don't get to say, well, I used to think that, but now a family member of mine is involved in that, and so it's not that big of a deal anymore. The Word of God is exalted, and God is a holy God. I think it's very important that we remember the holiness of God. So he says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. This is in verse number 23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so the judgment that Jesus is going to exhibit, he is going to operate with the authority entrusted to him as God the Son, all of that is so that people will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. So there's a lot of attempted hair splitting when it comes to the way people respond in their spiritual life. Well, I like the New Testament, I don't like the Old Testament, so I'm going to honor the New Testament, I'm not going to honor the Old Testament. God is the God of the entire Bible. And so I tell my congregation, I tell Merit Assembly of God, when you read the Old Testament, you have to read it through the New Testament lens. And understanding the Old Testament helps us to understand the New Testament as well. There are many people that say, well, look, I really love Jesus and, you know, the sacrifice and the forgiveness of sins. I really like that. I don't like that the Father is trying to tell me how to live my life. And then you've got other people. I'm okay with the Word. I'm okay with Jesus. But God the Holy Spirit, I don't want anything to do with him. And so I want you to know that we get to honor God. Honor is it's a Greek word that is the equivalent of the Old Testament word for glory or kabod. It holds God up in the highest esteem. So Gary Smalley was a relational ministry back in the day, and he was teaching about honor and how we were supposed to honor one another. And he held up this old broken, dilapidated violin, and nobody really thought much about it. And he said, I had to ask for special permission to be able to bring this to you. Because it's not the condition of the violin that makes it so valuable, but it's what is stamped on the inside, because this is a Stradivarius. Some of the most high-quality sounding musical instruments ever created. And when he said Stradivarius, everybody went, oh! He said, that's honor. That's honor, where you look and see beyond the surface and you see what's imprinted on the inside. Well, you and I, we don't get to be selective in honoring the Godhead. We honor God the Father. We honor God the Son. And we honor God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you're supposed to honor me. He's telling this to people who want to kill him because he did a miracle. He said, you're supposed to honor me the same way that you honor the Father. And if you do not honor me, you are rejecting honoring God, because he's the one who sent me. A lot of people make decisions here in this life about the things that they're going to do. They're going to do this because it feels good. They're going to do this because everybody else does it. There's a standard in society that says, hey, what takes place between two consenting adults is no business of mine. I want to ask you this, because it's not about just between two consenting adults whenever you're talking about that type of behavior. It's talking about, has God given his consent? Wives, I believe that it is very important that you honor your husband. Husbands, I believe it's very important that you honor your wife. I believe it's very important that we teach our children to have a culture of honor in the relationships that they see here on earth. But more important than all of that, those are vitally important. I'm not minimizing them. But above and beyond all of that, we need to honor God. We need to honor God the Father. We need to honor Jesus, God the Son. We need to honor God the Holy Spirit. We need to honor the Word of God, not just with lip service, but we need to live that life of honor. And if you have done some dishonorable things, I want to encourage you to ask Jesus to forgive you of those acts of dishonor and ask him to empower you by his grace to live a life of honor in the days to come. God bless you. You have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you Monday here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.